Words can signal many things. Alarm at a predator, or aggression toward a rival. Or they may simply maintain contact between members of a pair or flock. Black-capped chickadees sing a plaintive whistled song and make a call that gives the bird its name. The chickadee call serves different purposes in different contexts and is but one of a dozen in the bird's repertoire. American goldfinch males sing a bright, bubbly song and nearly always call in flight with a sweet four-syllable. Like to tell us what birds are singing and calling around your home? Find us at birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
We're from the Kiwassa Preteen Spring Camp. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain.
Hi, this is Gunnar Madsen. Old Mr. Macklehackle had a hen that wouldn't cackle unless she could listen to Tell Us a Tale with Peter Jones.
Old Mr. Macklehackle had a hen that wouldn't cackle, oh no, oh no. He took the hen, the doctor, boys, the doctor.
Peter Jones, and you are indeed listening to Tell Us a Tale, where Jen Hoffman and I are going to pull a couple tales out of the sky, starting with a Native American legend called How Rabbit Stole the Fire, adapted by Joanna Trofton, and that's published by Bedrick Blackie.
In the beginning, there was no fire on earth, and the world was cold. The sky people had fire, but they lived high up in the mountains and guarded it from the animals.
Who will steal the fire?
Asked the animals when the leaves began to fall and the cold winds blew. The bison was strong. The wolf was cunning. The bear was brave. And the wildcat was fierce. But Rabbit was leader of them all in mischief. Rabbit made himself a wonderful headdress. Each feather, every stitch he coated with pine resin.
Here I go.
And Rabbit put on the wonderful headdress, and off he went to the village of the Sky People. As he went, he sang a song.
Oh, I'm going to fetch the fire, to fetch the fire, to fetch the fire. Oh, I'm going to fetch the fire, fetch the fire. Fetch
For that
the fire.
Is what he was going to do.
Here is Rabbit,
muttered the Sky People.
He is a liar. He is a trickster. He is the chief mischief maker. Do not trust him.
Hello, Sky People. I have come to teach you a new dance. Look at my dancing hat. It is a dance to bring the corn from the earth. It is a dance to guide the fish to your nets.
So spoke Rabbit the Trickster, and with his words he soothed the Sky People. He charmed them. He flattered them. They forgot that he was a mischief maker and welcomed him into their village.
Rabbit shall lead us in the dance.
So Rabbit led the dance. Round and round the fire danced Rabbit, and round behind him danced the Sky People. Round and round danced Rabbit, wearing his wonderful headdress, and as he danced, he bent low to the fire, singing his dancing song. And the Sky People bent low also. Round and round danced Rabbit, and very low he bent, and
whoosh!
The headdress was alight, and away raced Rabbit out of the village and down the mountain.
We have been tricked. Rabbit has stolen the fire.
Rabbit ran, and the Sky People followed. They made a great rain. They made thunder and lightning. They made sleet. They made snow. But the wonderful headdress with the resin-coated feathers burned brightly. Rabbit was soon tired.
Squirrel, take the headdress.
Squirrel took the headdress and ran. And as Squirrel went, the heat made Squirrel's tail curl up and over Squirrel's back. And so are squirrels to this day. Squirrel was soon tired.
Squirrel, take the headdress.
Crow took the headdress and flew, and as he went, the smoke turned all his feathers black, and so are crows to this day. Crow was soon tired.
Raccoon, take the headdress.
Raccoon took the headdress and ran. As he went, some ash burned rings around his tail and face, and so are raccoons to this day. Raccoon was soon tired.
Turkey, take the headdress.
Turkey took the headdress and ran. As he went, the fire burned all the feathers off his head and neck. And so are turkeys to this day. But Turkey was not a fast runner, and the fire began to die.
Set my tail alight,
said Deer, for in those days, Deer had long tails. Deer took the fire on her tail and ran so fast that she made a wind and fanned the flames. Deer cried to the trees as she passed, flicking her tail this way and that.
Trees, hide the fire!
The trees took the fire and hid it in their wood, but the fire had burned off most of Deer's tail, and so are Deer to this day. The Sky People returned to their village high in the mountains. Wood had hidden fire, and they didn't know how to find it again. But Rabbit, leader of all mischief, knew. It was he who showed the animals how to find fire again by rubbing two sticks together. Now the animals have fire to warm the cold winters and light to brighten the dark nights.
Background of that story was music off R. Carlos Nakai's album Desert Dance. Well, whenever I hear a story about a rabbit and fire, I always think of the American folk song Old Molly Hare from brother-sister duo Mike and Peggy Seeger. See if you can figure out why. For our next Sky Tale, we're going to tell you the English classic, Jack and the Beanstalk, retold by John Howe, and that's published by Little Brown.
Once upon a time, there was a poor widow who lived with her son Jack in a small cottage. Jack was a lazy boy who did not like to work, so all they had to live on was the milk from their old cow. They sold the milk at the market and managed to eke out a meager living. One morning, the cow gave no milk, and the widow could see that she and Jack were in danger of starving. "Jack, there is nothing for it but to sell our cow and use whatever we get for her to help us survive."
"Cheer up, ma'am. I'll go to the market and I'll sell the cow for a good price."
So Jack set off for the market, and on his way he met an old man who offered him 5 brightly colored beans for the cow. At first, Jack refused such a small offer.
It's a good trade, don't worry about that. For those beans, they're magic, and they'll bring you a great fortune, I promise you that.
Oh, a fortune's just what I need. My mom's going to be so happy.
And so Jack returned home and, whistling happily, went through the door of the small cottage.
Look, Mom, look at them wonderful magic beans that I traded for the cow.
Beans? Jack, there is no such thing as magic, you stupid boy. You have ruined us. What am I going to do with you?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mom.
And with that, she took the beans and threw them out the window. Well, seeing how upset his mother was, Jack told her he was sorry.
All right, Jack, I know you're sorry, but we're going to bed hungry tonight.
All right, Mom.
When Jack woke the next morning, he hopped from his bed and went to the window to breathe the fresh air.
Blimey!
Well, imagine his surprise when he looked from his window and saw that the beans that his mother had thrown out the window had taken root and sprung up overnight into a huge beanstalk that rose up into the clouds. Now, Jack was an adventurous lad, and while not good at trading, he was very good at climbing. He decided right away that he would discover where the beanstalk went. So he ran from his house, took hold of the great vine, and up into the sky he went.
There's the cow. Look at that.
And at long last he reached the top and saw in front of him a long, broad road that led directly to a great stone castle.
Oh, that's big.
Jack was very curious and walked to the castle, and there at its portal he met a very big woman with a very big porridge pot in her hand. He was very hungry.
Please, lady. Could you maybe just give me a little bit of breakfast?
Oh, you look like a good boy, and I would like some company.
Ah, good.
Let me think. Well, why don't you come in, and I'll give you some bread and milk.
Oh, that'd be nice.
But listen, you must be very careful, my lad, for if my husband, the giant...
Giant?
The giant comes home and sees you, he'll eat you up in a second. Oh, there's nothing he likes better than to eat human flesh.
Oh, no.
Well, these words frightened Jack, but he was very hungry, and so he entered the castle.
Bread, flesh, same thing.
Jack had just finished his meal when the castle began to tremble and shake. The giant was approaching.
Quick, hide in the oven. My husband, he's home. Don't worry, it's not lit. Just jump into the oven and hide.
Wife, what is that I smell? Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he alive or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread.
Nonsense. Don't worry, dear. You must smell the stew I've cooked for you. There's no one here. Come and sit and eat some stew, dear, please.
Very well.
The giant believed his wife, so he sat and ate the stew in great mouthfuls. When he finished, he called out,
"Bring me my hen."
The giant's wife brought him a plump hen, and the giant commanded,
"Lay."
As Jack peeped out from the oven, he saw the hen lay a golden egg. When the giant commanded, another golden egg appeared. The giant amused himself with the hen for a long time, but eventually he became sleepy. His head rested on the table, and his snores shook the castle walls. When Jack saw the giant was asleep, he crept from the oven, seized the hen, and ran out of the castle. He ran to the beanstalk and slithered down to safety.
Look, Mom, look at this hen. The beanstalk, it really was magical. I told you, one
no good will come of this, my dear, but I sure do love gold.
Oh, good. Just don't try to eat the eggs, Mum, because they're made out of gold, you know.
Jack and his mother lived for many, many months on the riches that the hen provided. But then Jack felt a great longing to climb the beanstalk once again. So one gray day, Jack climbed the mighty vine and presented himself at the giant's castle.
Hello.
Go away! Aren't you the boy who came here before? I think you are, but my eyes are not what they once were. I think I recognize you. Yes, my husband was furious at the loss of his hen.
Well, you know, ma'am, if you let me in and if you feed me, I can tell you something all about that, I reckon.
I am a little curious to hear what he has to say.
Well,
all right, okay. Why don't you come in and I'll give you some bread and cheese.
Oh, it's better than milk. Yes, all right, thank you.
All right.
Jack had scarcely tasted a mouthful of his food when... They heard the giant's footsteps. As quick as a wink, Jack once again hid in the oven. And in came the giant for the second time.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be alive or be dead. I'll grind his bones to make my bread.
Oh, dear. Hush, dear, hush. I believe what you smell are those three cows I've roasted as a little snack for you. Come and sit and eat, dear. Don't worry about a thing.
Very well.
And so the giant did as he was bid, and after he had eaten every bit of every cow, he said,
"Bring me my gold."
And his wife brought him three bags of gold and emptied one out onto the table. As Jack watched, the giant counted his gold pieces until his eyes shut. And snoring mightily, he fell into a deep sleep. As stealthily as a cat, Jack crept from the oven, seized the bag of gold, and staggered to the beanstalk. He dropped through the clouds like a stone through water, and he was soon home.
Look, 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 Mom, look, look, the beanstalk, it's helped us once again. Look at all this gold.
No good will come of this, dear, but I sure do like that gold.
Don't try to eat it, Mum.
Not this time, Jackie.
You learned after the eggs, didn't you?
We sure did. That didn't feel too good.
I'll tell you.
Well, for the next 3 years, Jack and his mother lived on the gold that he had taken from the giant's castle. And at the end of that time, the coins were almost gone, and Jack was anxious to visit the giant's castle once more. After he climbed the beanstalk, Jack wondered if the giant's wife would let him pass into the castle for a third time.
Could be a problem here.
Not wishing to press his luck, he hid outside the castle door until the woman came outside to hang her wash. Just as the door was about to shut, Jack darted from his hiding place and scampered into the kitchen. Jack hid in the oven once again, and it was not long before the giant and his wife entered the kitchen.
Wife, what is that smell? Fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood.
No, do not fret, my dear, no one is here. The rascal who stole your hen and your gold has not been seen for years. I do not smell anything at all. You must have a cold. Come and eat, and I'll bring you a tissue.
Very well.
And the giant did as he was bid. After all, he had eaten his fill, and his wife was clearing the dishes, and the giant bellowed,
"Bring me my harp."
Jack crept from the oven and saw a truly beautiful harp on the table in front of the giant. Imagine Jack's astonishment when the giant commanded,
"Play."
And the harp began to play and sing exquisite music without anyone touching it. This beautiful music entranced the giant, quickly lulling him to sleep. As soon as he thought it was safe, Jack slipped from the oven, seized the harp, and began to run toward the beanstalk, but the harp sang out loudly,
"Help me! Help me, master! I'm being stolen away!"
The giant, hearing the harp's cry of distress, shook his groggy head and then, seeing Jack, gave a great roar and jumped from the table.
"Come back, you villain! It was you who stole my hen and my gold. You will not steal my harp. I'm going to eat you up."
And catching the harp to him, Jack reached the beanstalk and slid down quickly. He could hear the giant climbing slowly down after him.
Quick, Mom, bring me an axe, quick!
And just as he saw the giant's foot break through the clouds, he was given an axe and there was no time to spare. The giant was coming closer and closer. Jack took the axe and chopped, and the beanstalk finally came crashing to the ground, bringing the giant with it. He was killed where he fell. All ended well. The hen continued to lay golden eggs, and the harp sang lovely songs for Jack and his mother. Jack grew up to be a gallant gentleman. He married a beautiful princess, never again thought about the magic beanstalk, and all lived happily ever after.
What's in the sack? What's in the sack that you're carrying on your back, Jack? It bounces and it moves. I think that I can hear it talk. It makes you go so slowly and stumble when you walk. Say, hey, Jack, what's in the sack? What's in the sack that you're carrying on your back, Jack? I know they say that you're deranged, and I think that it's a lie. I know that something's very strange. You know, I swear that ain't no jive. Say, hey, Jack, what's in the sack? What's in the sack that you're carrying on your back, Jack? And now I know I heard a voice. Oh, it sounded like a cry. Wipe the spit off of your chin. I think you have a kid inside. Say, hey, Jack, what's in the sack? What's in the sack that you're carrying on your back, Jack? It's heaving and it's moving and it's rolling out the door. It's little Billy Nicholson. Say, would you have him in there for? Say, hey, Jack, what's in the sack? What's in the sack that you're carrying on your back, Jack?
Barry Lewis Pallisar's album Naughty Songs for Boys and Girls. That was Hey Jack, What's in the Sack? Well, I thought that we would invite a young friend in now by the name of Chris to read you a poem called Fancy Dive from Shel Silverstein's book of poems and drawings, A Light in the Attic. And that's published by HarperCollins.
The fanciest dive that ever was dove was done by Melissa of Coconut Grove. She bounced on the board and flew into the air with a twist of her head and the twirl of her hair. She did 34 jackknives, backflipped and spun, quadruple gain and reached for the sun, then somersaulted 9 times and a quarter, and looked down and saw that the pool had no water.
I can't. Yes, you can. I can't. Yes, you can. I can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I can't.
I guess he couldn't.
Oh, Barry Lewis Pallisar's album Naughty Songs for Boys and Girls, that was I Can't. And that's going to close out this half hour of Tell Us a Tale.
Hi, this is Barry Lewis Pallisar. Our dog Bernard, who lived in the backyard, ran away. But he came back in time for Tell Us a Tale.
Our dog Bernard lived in the backyard. When I